This is the Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball national team coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome, everyone, from around the world to the Inside Pitch, where coaches' education is the foundation of their sport. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Let's start with our listeners, the new ones, because we know we get a lot of new listeners. Let me tell you a little bit about the show. We have a passion for educating baseball coaches, players, and parents of all levels from around the world so that our sport can grow and stay healthy. We love to bring you the best coaching minds with innovative thoughts who love to challenge the status quo. Remember this, that most coaches have a history of teaching how they were taught or how they did it, and many times that may not be the correct way. We love sharing with you better ways to become a better coach to your players by bringing you the unique insights from the very best coaches, teachers, sports psychologists, and experts in the areas of the game from all over the world. The Inside Pitch quote of the day, Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "One's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never regains its original dimensions." On this show, we're trying to stretch everybody's mind when it comes to teaching. Now, just a special announcement. We got a few of them these are sponsors that help our show. We want to tell you a little bit about them, and then we'll get going with a very unique show today. Now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a great resource for audiobooks. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/insidepitch. You know, there's over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MPS player. Now, if you like the show, do us a favor. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and click subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating and review. This allows us to continue to bring you these great shows. Finally, a very special thank you to the Lineup Media Group for hosting the show. You can hear many great shows like Youth Baseball Talk with Jim Cromer, who does a great job discussing the issues of youth baseball. And don't forget, Let's Get It On. You can check both of these out at lineupmediagroup.com. All right, now we're ready to begin our show for today. The topic, coaching coaches, how important that coaches get evaluated so they can become better on a daily basis. Now, we have a special guest today and a great friend from California who's actually going to be the host. We're going to turn the tables on this. And we're going to let Mike Carlucci actually be doing the interview. And he's going to interview yours truly. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Mike. What a great guy. I've known him for a long time. He's an actor, voiceover artist, and has been in many films and TV shows, such as 61, Two for the Money, King of Queens, The Muppets, and video games such as Saint Row 3 and 4, and the 20-year voice of Sony's Baseball MLB The Show series. He's also formerly the announcer of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Ducks, the Clippers, and four Olympics. Currently, he's the UCLA baseball announcer, and he's going to be interviewing yours truly, and I want to welcome Mike to the Inside Pitch.
All right, Pete, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to today.
Yeah, this was good. This is going to be special because we've never done this on the Inside Pitch. And I think it's going to be unique because, one, we're going to have a professional actually doing the interview.
And so we're going to switch the tables here. We're going to switch seats. So why don't you sit down over there, and I'll grab the microphone from you, and I'll take over. How's that?
That sounds good. I'm ready to go, Mike.
All righty, my friend. Hey, by the way, we should also tell our listeners and viewers that you and I, we've worked quite a few international baseball events as well, you know, where all over the globe. You name the places because my memory's not as good as yours, but we were in Taiwan, Japan, and, of course, Greece, and I think Beijing and one other place. Was it Holland? We worked together too, right?
We were in Holland together. We had a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. I watched you do a lot of the announcing, boy, and I'll tell you what, one of the best in the business.
Well, thank you, Pete. But, of course, you probably would say, hey, stay away from any ambassador from Canada, right? Remember, I thought the Canadian ambassador or the governor, whatever, I thought he was a TV star or something. Remember that?
That was unique and sometimes a little uncomfortable in some ways.
Yes. But he actually was feeling good because he goes, well, maybe after I get out of politics, I could be a TV star like Mike, right?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. If we have as much fun as we've had internationally, you and I together at all the great international baseball events, if we have this much fun on this show, this is going to be a great show.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Well, tell you what, Graham, let's have the microphone over here. Grab a seat and let's start it off here. Like you said, our topic was how important is coaching coaches? And first off, I wanted to ask you, Pete, very importantly, why did you pick coaching as your career? And would you recommend it to young people that just love the great game of baseball?
You know what? I that's a great question because I picked it because, first of all, I started off as a player, so I love playing the game. And I started off at the world-famous Mickey Owen Baseball School as a student. And my love for the game for coaching started right there, just being around great coaches, great instructors. Mm-hmm. And then as I continue my career, I just love working with kids and working with players and, working the strategy part of the game. And it just became a passion. So if that sport is an interest to young people and you get into the sport – and as you're getting into it, you can see, you'll know right away, hey, this is something I want to do and I really want to coach. If that's your passion, you go for it because, Michael, you know this. If you do what you love, you're never working and you're going to have a great life.
Absolutely, because it's not a job. It's like you're getting paid for a hobby, something you love, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I was fortunate. I had a great mentor, but a gentleman by the name of Dick Birmingham. And I do want to mention Dick because Dick passed away a couple of years ago. If it wasn't for Dick, and I've had several mentors, and we can talk about that later. But having a mentor is important when you're starting into a career. And Dick was one of those guys that was always there to help and always guided me through the right direction in baseball, and always introduced me to the right people. And I think you always need somebody like that to help you along.
Well, it seems like, Pete, you've had some great influences, the two gentlemen you just mentioned right there, and that's the key for, obviously, to be a great coach and love the sport you're coaching and any line of work you're doing. If you have great people that have trained you and given you advice and tips and so forth, obviously, that creates a fun gig, it creates a good life, and the struggle stops right there because you know what you're doing because you learn from the best.
Yeah, and I think that you just hit it on the button at the end there, the best. If you can surround yourself and learn from the best, that's going to make you that much better. It's like anything else, young kids, or anybody that hangs around. When you hang around bad people, you're going to become a bad person. You hang around real good people and you hang around real good baseball coaches. And I was fortunate, at 15, 16, 17, I started coaching when I was 17 at Mickey Owen Baseball School. Well, I was around coaches, they were 30, 35 years old, already had 15 years of experience. Uh-huh. I didn't read any books I read once in a while, watched some videos, but most of my teachings have come from actual experience and then hanging around great coaches, watching them, how they teach. And I think that's what more coaches need to do instead of, kind of saying that I'm going to do it my way only. I think it's fun to go out and watch other coaches teach and watch how they do things, whether it's an instructor, a baseball instructor, whether it's a coach, whether it's a speaker, whoever it may be, you can always learn from a lot of people.
Well, it seems like these are the things that made you the coach you are today. Any other things you can add to that besides all the great influences?
Well, the experiences, obviously. From the people I met, I also had the ability to, get assigned to certain teams. I was with Team USA with the 16-year-old team for 6 years. Because of that experience, again, being around other coaches, I got influenced. My influence came from not just one baseball coach, came from many. So every time I got assigned to something different, whether it be a professional team, whether it be Team USA, whether it be something at Mickey Owen Baseball School, I always, had somebody there who was that much better that I was constantly learning from. But, again, you have to be open-minded too. You got to be a coach, in my opinion, that has an open mind, believes in learning, believes that you never stop learning, and and then continues that education even now, even after 33, years in the game.
Well, yeah, and you figure all that knowledge that you've built up from the influences, and then you want to experiment with your ideas because remember, you got to blend in with the new technology and the new things out there for kids to learn on the field, and you blend all that together. And that's what makes the success even brighter, it seems like.
Well, it does. And that's the fun part, right? That's now all of a sudden you get to put your philosophy together. You get to put, you know, instructional beliefs to, you know, into one unit. And now you get to, you know, apply that to your teams, apply that to your lessons you might be giving. And then even during that time that you put your philosophy together, that philosophy will change. And you have to be able to change. If you're stubborn and you just want to keep one philosophy the rest of your life, sooner or later you're probably going to get bored, and you also not only get bored, but you're going to go kind of by the wayside because, you know, technology comes along. You're going to learn new things with technology, and you have to be able to say, you know what, there's better ways to do it all the time, and every year can be a better way.
Right. Pete, well, let's just jump into all these up-and-coming coaches that are behind you. You've, of course, mentored and stuff, but what should coaches do now on a daily basis to make themselves even better?
Well, you know what? With today's technology, let's take outside the box, because that's kind of what the show's about, you know, thinking outside the box and saying, you know, how can we do things better? And I think this is something that's actually not done very often. I believe any type of coach, whether you're a baseball coach or any other sport, you need to be evaluated. And what do I mean by that? You know, when you're running a practice, you're not exactly learning or seeing exactly how you're doing things. You think you're doing them pretty good, but is there a better way? You think you're saying things real well to your players, but is there a better way to say things? Is there a better way to communicate with players? So I believe that, you know, what I'd like to do is, and I've got, you know, we talk about mentors, you know, there's others, the Terry Ayers and the Jim Halls and with the ABCA, the American Baseball Coach Association Hall of Fame guys here in Chicago have been on many of my international trips. And you take these guys, you know, and what I'll do is they'll coach the team when we go overseas, and I'll sit in the stands and I'll evaluate not only what the players did, but also what the coaches did. And these guys are open-minded. These guys are Hall of Fame coaches, and we'll sit down afterwards and we'll go over, you know, the strategy that went on during the game, certain things that occurred. We'll talk about those things because, you know, I'm sitting in the stands in a different perspective than they are on the bench. And then we'll turn that around and do it vice versa. You know, where maybe I'm coaching and then they're evaluating. So I think one of the big things that coaches can do that really isn't done a lot is to be evaluated by other coaches within your practices and also your games. I think we can learn from the games and the strategies and all that. The other thing is I think we need to ask our players a lot of information. You know, we're afraid to ask players and to get critiqued by our own players. And I think you got to be open-minded when it comes to this. And again, it's that outside-the-box thinking. It's not that mentality of, you know, I'm the coach and this is the only way it's going to be done. What about asking the players, how did you like the practice? What did you like about the practice? What didn't you like about the practice? Now, you don't have to follow everything the players say, but players can give you some pretty good feedback if you sit back and talk to them. So I think those are two avenues. You know, the most obvious, if you're going to learn and continue to learn, you know, is you've got to be involved. You know, you've got to go to seminars around, whether it's around the U.S., around the world, anywhere you can get to seminars and mingle with coaches, watch, you know, listen to coaches speak at seminars. You've got, you know, tremendous, with the internet nowadays, you've got tremendous ability to look at the technology of the sport and learn from that aspect. So I think that, you know, as coaches, the number one thing, if you're going to do all this, and I say this all the time, you've got to have an open mind. You know, you've got to be like that little kid walking down the street. Walks down the street, he sees a puddle. What does he do? He jumps in, right? It's not like adults. They see a puddle, they walk around the puddle. Actually, they complain about the puddle first, the adults do, and then they walk around it. The kids, they just jump in because they, you know, they're a sponge. Well, we need to be kids at hand, and we need to be sponges as coaches because we need to continually learn. And one more thing, I think that will help coaches tremendously, is we need to think outside the box. Don't worry about, you know, what you did 20 years ago. Think about what can be better for your players right now. Think about it as if you were just starting and you didn't know anything, is this the way you would start? If it's not the way you would start, then think of the way you would start from the beginning and do it that way. Hopefully that makes sense to our listeners. And then, you know, finally, you know, and then what we can continue to show. I know this is kind of a long answer, but I think it's an important one. Finally, as a coach, you need to communicate with your assistants. You know, your assistants need to give you feedback, and you need to listen to your assistants. You need to listen to what they tell you, what they believe in, you know, how they think things can, you know, become better. And if you're listening to all these people, you're going to be a much better coach in the long run.
You know, Pete, this philosophy details you put together are fantastic. And I like what you said about, obviously, it goes hand in hand. You get ideas and you talk strategy with your assistant coaches. But I like the feeling, the relationship you can build with your player when you ask the player's opinion, what he thought. Like, hey, you know what, when you did that whatever, if you play defense or, you know, out in the field, or if you're in the batter's box, you know, certain adjustments, maybe the coach told that batter, and then you ask that player, hey, what did you feel about that when I had you pull the ball or twist your wrist a little bit to move the ball between the, you know, the second baseman and the first baseman, that, you know, to move the runner over or whatever. That's great when the coach can have that nice relationship with that batter, and then he goes, well, you know, I really didn't feel comfortable doing that. Can I try this next time? That creates a super relationship with the coach and the player, and that's very important, like you said, and that's all part of your philosophy, and I think it's super, and you've put pretty much put the hammer on the nail about that.
And you know, Michael, the other thing I was going to mention briefly is, you know, players, even during games, you know, how many times do we end a game? And I'm sure this is in many sports. I don't know, you've been involved. You've seen some great coaches, obviously, where you've announced and where you've been involved. You've seen some great leaders. You know, how many times do we have a meeting and it's all about us, the coaches, talking to the players? You know, what about, you know, about their mistakes, about things they did well, whatever it may be? What about asking them? You know, and I'll give you a quick situation. You know, a runner's running the bases. He may, you know, we like to have our runners run on their own. You know, be aggressive, think on your own, make the decision to go to the extra base as a base as a player. And let's say the player gets thrown out. You know, instead of after the game or at another time explaining to the player why he got thrown out, because maybe that player made a wrong decision, how about asking the player what he thought his thought process was? You know, why he made that decision and what he thought about that decision. And I don't care what age you are. You could be 8 years old. We need to start talking to players more often. We can't be telling them things all the time because, guys, you know, you were a player. You get bored if somebody talks to you constantly. It's kind of like your parents always telling you what to do, but we never ask you know, our players what they should do. So that was kind of – I think that will help a lot of young coaches out there.
Yeah, it makes the player obviously a better thinker out there on the field, a better player. That's the ultimate result. So, no, definitely. You hit the hammer on the nail on that one for sure. I wanted to ask you, just moving to the side here a little bit, you have emphasized a national coaches certification program in the USA. Can this be done, and why should it be done, and what would be the results of this?
That's the million-dollar question, and, you know, we could probably back up a little bit. You know, baseball, as you know, is a traditional sport, and it's been traditional for a long time. Changes are very slow. And our leaders, you know, at the higher levels of baseball, whether it be Major League Baseball, whether it be USA Baseball, our governing body, whether it be our national sport or national governing bodies like Little League Pony and them, you know, they've been slow to react for many years. Now they're starting to react a little faster. And what do I mean by that? You know, the foundation of our sport or any sport is going to be your coaches, especially when it comes to the youth of the United States, when it comes to the young players, because the majority of those players, 14 and under, are parents that are coaching these teams. These are well-intended people. They love the game. They've played the game, some of them, but that could be a detriment sometimes because you think if you play the game, then you know how to coach the game. Well, any teacher, educator, professional can tell you that just because you played a game doesn't mean you're going to be able to teach it. It's extremely difficult to teach the game and do it well and keep kids in the game longer. So our volunteers are important to us. And, you know, unfortunately, we have all kinds of different baseball systems around the country, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing. But we forget about educating our coaches. You know, now, I understand it's going to be difficult to have a national certification program followed by, you know, every coach, every volunteer. But, you know, we have to do something because 10% of the players nationally every year are being lost under the age of 12 years old in baseball. That's a lot of players leaving the game. If you ask them, they've done studies on this, if you ask them, why are you leaving the game? number one reason, they're not having fun. Well, that's obvious. If you're not having fun at something, why would you do it? Number two, they don't like their coach. You know, number three, practice is boring, and sometimes the games can be boring. But more importantly, the practices are boring. And we know running a baseball practice is extremely difficult because it's not like any other sport. You can't just put the ball out there or roll the ball or put the puck on the ice and let them go at it. Baseball, you know, this doesn't work that way. You know, if you have hockey, you're always moving around. Basketball, you're always moving around. Baseball, it's a standstill sport, and then you're moving. Then you're standing still waiting. Then you're moving. Well, if practice is that way, then nobody's going to want to play, you know, play the game of baseball, because sooner or later, kids are going to get bored just standing around. That's the one area that we've talked about nationally, is if we could have a national educational program that educates our volunteers, that will filter down. Not only will it make the game better, because players will become better because you have better coaching, and that's just common sense. And Michael, you know, we, you know, you and I, we can send our 10 or 11 year old kid to school, and that person has to be certified and he has to be an educator. Now, baseball, as you know, all over the country is being played all year round. Even in Chicago, here where I'm at, they're playing the game all year round, whether it's indoors, they're practicing indoors, playing outdoors. So we're sending these kids with moms and dads that are not educated when it comes to education. So we're seeing some mental abuse when it comes to the young kids. And sometimes, because we're teaching the wrong things, like throwing or pitching, we're seeing some physical abuse. And that's the difficulty here is, you know, if we're gonna do this right and you're going to volunteer, look, God bless all our volunteers around the country and around the world. We need you as volunteers because you're the foundation of our sport. But that's not an excuse for not doing it the right way and not educating yourself. You know, not having the time to educate yourself is not an excuse. And our national organizations, it's not an excuse that you don't have a national program for your coaches and all your levels that educate them. I'm not talking about a paid program where the volunteer has to pay for it. I'm talking about where you, as a national organization, supply the material to educate our coaches when it comes to the mental game of the sport and teaching kids, when it comes to the physical game of the sport. And the more classes we can have for our coaches, whether they're online, whether they're in person, all that is going to make the game better. Why? Because we're educating the coaches. And the most important thing after that, and what Major League Baseball is ultimately wants to, you know, happen, that is to increase the participation of the game and to keep the kids in the game longer. That's what a coach's educational program nationally will do. And it's going to take a big leader to step up and say, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to mandate it, because that scares people sometimes, Mike. You know, what happens is, you know, you say, you know, you take a local little organization and you know, you have a youth board, and all of a sudden they mandate that you have coaches education and you have to attend one day to be educated. Well, most people get scared because they're going to think, well, you know, people aren't going to come. They're volunteers. Well, to the contrary, we've done that. Volunteers will come, and they'll have a great time because it's baseball. It's baseball education. And the ones that don't show, those are the ones that think they know it all. Those are the ones you don't want teaching your kids, because you know what? You're going to find volunteers. If you have a pretty good educational program, whether it be national, locally, or wherever you have it, you're going to find volunteers that are going to volunteer that would not normally volunteer because they didn't know anything about the sport. But when they find out that you have an educational program that's going to help them lay the foundation to help them coach this, you know, the game, you're going to get new volunteers. And that's great, because now we've got a fresh new group of people, of volunteers. And I'm a big believer. I love women that are baseball coaches because they're more sympathetic with the kids, especially at the young levels. I love young college guys that are coaching. And nothing against the dads. I like dads that are coaching also, as long as you're doing it the right way.
Yeah, not the dad's not taking over and, you know, trying to tear up the umpires and things like that and get too involved. That could be a little catastrophic.
And I know I got a little passionate there. It's because that's what the show's all about. And we really believe that, you know, educating our coaches is the number one thing that should be done in all sports.
I like how you discussed how the evolvement of baseball has become over the years because of technology and getting these kids, you know, psyched and get them focused because of all the distractions, the video games. Of course, I partake because I do a lot of voiceovers for those games, unfortunately.
but those could be fun and they could be educational, too.
Yeah. But like I said, fortunately for me, but unfortunately for these kids, to be taking away their concentration from the great game of baseball over any sport is all the technology and all these things that kids are getting into, social media and Facebook and all this stuff, that the concentration, you know, wears away from the stuff that we want them to get into a particular sport. And of course, the great game of baseball, to stay focused, get the advice and on the training and the instruction from great coaches like yourself and many others. But in the old days, it was either you stick to this and you had nothing else to distract you. So that's the
involvement. Well, in the old days, Mike, we used to go out to a park and play on our own too, right? You don't see that very often.
Yeah, of course. That's the problem. It's just there's just so much going on. And of course, with soccer too, it's now becoming a problem for soccer coaches now too, because of all the other distractions and so forth on that. So it's a key, and like you said, the volunteers, the young coaches, get them in there and keep these guys and the girls, good girls obviously playing baseball too, get the guys and girls, the youngsters, more involved and stay focused and enjoy it though. Make it so it's enjoyable.
Yeah, and I think something you're seeing, Mike, too, is, you know, kids nowadays, I think parents need to understand this. You know, they're playing, a lot of times they're just playing one sport, baseball. You know, young kids, eight years old, 9 years old, 10, they need to play multiple sports, you know, to develop their athleticism. And like you said, have fun. Do something different. Don't always do the same thing, you know, all year round.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's say they're a kid, a young kid, a boy or girl, you know, they have growth spurts and they're figuring, oh, this kid is, you know, already 5'7" and he's only 10 or 11 years old. That means he's going to be about 6'5", maybe, depending how the growth spurt continues. And then, well, let's push him just into basketball and volleyball. No baseball, no softball, none of this. No. Let him or her decide what's comfortable for them. I've known kids that are, you know, 5'10" at the age of 12 and 13 that they all pushed him into basketball and volleyball. And then they said, no, I want to play baseball. I want to play play lacrosse. Let them, get something they have interest in and what is favorable to them, what they like. You know, I mean, that's the key. And then focus on that. But also say, hey, you know what, just because you're tall, you know, don't forego basketball and volleyball. Play all sports. Like you said, do all you can be. I mean, do all that you can and be all you can be. You know, it sounds like a commercial here, but, you know, that's the key.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, that'll lead into, I'm taking the mic back just for a second, folks. This is Pete Caliendo, your host of The Inside Pitch. At this time, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back, talk about some of our sponsors, and we're going to go into the second part of our show where Mike Carlucci is interviewing your host, Pete Caliendo, with The Inside Pitch. We'll be right back.
This has been The Inside Pitch with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at InsidePitchPodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.